Hello and a very warm welcome to Monday's edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas. Another cast of characters to join me on today's show. Later on, Craig and Shaq are here, as Shaq says that he would have Alisson ahead of David De Gea in his top five goalkeepers in the Premier League era. Meanwhile, Sebastian Salazar and Hercules Gomez to react to more explosive comments from a former teammate of Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And I asked Jules who he would choose out of Mbappe, Neymar and Cristiano Ronaldo. He discusses that with Stuart Robson. We start, though, with a report in the Gazzetta dello Sport who says they've got their hands on UEFA's plans to reintroduce Champions League action in August. And what an August it looks set to be. As it stands, those second leg ties, remember, still four matches to be settled, would be played on August 7th and the 8th, quickly followed by the quarterfinal semis and the final, still in Istanbul, but on August 29th. Now, just a reminder of the odds, looking at who are the favourites going into this conversation. Manchester City, of course, up against Real Madrid, 11-4 at the moment favourites. Bayern very much in control of their tie-ins. Chelsea at 3s, PSG's at 4s, Barca at 7-1. Atletico Madrid, meanwhile, 12-1 after knocking out Liverpool. Well, let's welcome Jules and Robbo into the conversation. And I know, boys, so much depends on everything that will happen regarding whether or not this will actually take place. But let's just say, for hypothetical, for conversation's sake, that it does actually all get prepared in the way in which that this leaked document suggests it will. Rob, I'll start with you. Who's the favourites?
I wouldn't go against the bookmakers. I would say that Manchester City, we still don't know about what their form is going to be like when they restart. You know, there's no form guide at the moment. But in terms of the quality of their players, they should have everybody fit. They should go through. They've been excellent against Real Madrid in that first leg. They should win the second leg. And I think they should be favourites. The team that I'm surprised that aren't higher up that list are Juventus at 14-1. Yes, they lost to Lyon, but I think they'll overcome that and win the second leg and get through to the next round. And I'm surprised that they're such long odds. I think Juventus still have a chance. They're not the favourites, but still have a chance.
What have you seen, though, from Juventus before the break that makes you think they do have a chance up against a Manchester City or indeed a Bayern Munich, Robbo?
I think on the big games, they've played well. When they played against Inter twice, Inter have pushed them all the way. Were pushing them all the way against Lazio. Juventus, they lost that game. But in the very big games, I think they've just come to that next level. They've started to play the way that Sarri wants them to play. We're still not seeing the best of the front players. And that's why they've been looking at one or two other players for the future. But I still think on their day, they've got quality players. They've got the ability to know how to win games. And they've still got a chance of not maybe winning it, but certainly getting to the final and the semi-final.
How many big games have they played, though, Robbie? Realistically, you mentioned Inter Milan, yeah, but they played Lazio, they lost against them. I don't quite know where you're finding this hope for Juventus from.
I still think they've got excellent players. I think they've got a manager that hasn't quite found his way. But if they can get it all together, I think they're a better side than Atletico Madrid, who are higher up. I think they're probably a better side than PSG. PSG have been in and out at times over the last two or three years. I don't trust them in the very big games. So I still think that Juventus, at 14-1, are outsiders.
Right then, PSG TV's Julian Laurent with us as well. Robbo says that Juve are a better side than yours, Jules.
Yeah, I think he's right. I think a team with Cristiano Ronaldo in it has to be one of the favourites to win the Champions League. By himself, he can probably win the Champions League as well for his club. So I can see why Robbo is quite positive about Juve's chances.
I would agree with you in the sense. Where's this coming from? Where has everyone suddenly got all this hope?
No. Let me finish. You interrupted me. You interrupted me.
Cristiano Ronaldo can lead them to win the whole thing. Come on.
Listen, you interrupted me when I was actually going to say, but I see your point and I agree with you in the sense that there hasn't been even one very, very convincing performance. I still think that collectively they're not as good as they were even last season and that Sarri is not working so far. Whatever he's trying to do is not working, and there's been so many issues between him and the dressing room of him saying, like, well, they don't understand what I want them to do, or this is not good enough, or there's not enough energy, there's not enough this, there's not enough that I just don't think they can go and win it. However, if you do have Cristiano in your team anything is possible with Cristiano in your team. I just don't think that, for me, I would name them as the top favourite. I still think Bayern Munich, Manchester City, and even PSG will be ahead of them in the in this matter. But I can see why with Ronaldo in their team, anything is possible.
Who would you swap then for Ronaldo for PSG, Jules? Mbappe or Neymar?
Oh, that's unfair. You can't. Where is that coming from? That was not even planned in the script by producer Pete. I wouldn't swap anyone.
When have we ever had a script
of them
for this show?
Ronaldo can stay in Madeira. Ronaldo can stay in Madeira with the whole family and having a great time there. And then I keep Neymar and Mbappe.
But you just said with Cristiano Ronaldo, you can never write a team off. They can go all the way. So surely you want him in your team.
I know, but you're asking me to then swap with Neymar and Mbappe. Do you know what? If I had to choose, then I would swap Cristiano with Neymar, exactly, Robo. And I would hope for one season that Cristiano is at the top. I won't want him to do any defending, just focusing on scoring and his partnership with Mbappe up front. I would have Verratti just feeding him the ball every single time and hope that he can carry the whole team all the way.
Robo?
Well, I agree. If you were talking about who would you'd swap Neymar. I've never been a firm favourite of a fan of Neymar. I think he's in and out of games. I think he causes one or two problems in the dressing room. The fans didn't like him for a little while at PSG because he didn't show them the faith that they deserved. So I would go with Ronaldo as a better player than Neymar. Mbappe and Ronaldo would be a great partnership. The pace of Mbappe, the strength that he can run down the side of defenders, he can create all the opportunities. And Ronaldo is now just a very, very good finisher, the best finisher there is.
Why are you both writing off Bayern Munich, Robbo?
We are. We're not writing off Bayern Munich. We just didn't mention him. Bayern Munich, in that game against Chelsea, were excellent, and they've come to the fore in the Bundesliga. They've started to find their form. The change of manager's done them the world of good. They look a much better side. I think they are certainly one of the favourites. I'm not sure they're going to be quite good enough to win it. Manchester City are a better side, and I think PSG would challenge them, and Juventus would challenge them.
Where's the weakness for you for Bayern, Jules?
It's a tough one because I was going to say, for me, they are my favourite. I was at the game at Chelsea. They were so impressive, albeit against a young and experienced side, if you want. But by the time those games will be played in August, potentially, they will have also some players injured right now who will be back. They will have maybe their strongest defence if they want to, although the current one has worked quite well with Alphonso Davies at left back. I still think in Thiago and Kimmich in midfield, they've got an outstanding double pivot of defensive midfielders, and then with Lewandowski as a number nine, he's the best number nine that is, as in centre forward, that is right now. So I can see them going really far. They might need a bit of luck there and there. Nancy Flick is a bit lacking experience, I guess, of those kind of games, but he's learned very quickly so far what the number one job at Bayern Munich is, and I would be really, really positive about them going very far in the competition.
I tell you what, really would be a great August if all these plays out. Just a reminder, the latest Gavin Jules podcast dropped today. You can check that out over on our website.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Now, before the break, we saw Newcastle very much at the wrong end of the table. 13th place in the Premier League, 8 above the relegation zone. It has been, though, a busy week behind the scenes as we welcome in Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop. I want to start with you, Shaka, of course, as a former Newcastle United player. A lot of talk about the possibility of this Saudi Arabian consortium coming in to take over from Mike Ashley. Your initial thoughts?
It's exciting. But the trouble is we've been here with Mike Ashley before. I'll believe it once it's finally done and dusted. Seeing that, this Saudi Arabian consortium certainly seemed to have the money to buy Mike Ashley out at the price that he's been looking for quite some time. So it's an exciting prospect because I don't think Newcastle were going anywhere under Ashley's stewardship.
And obviously, Craig, financial fair play will tie their hands a little bit, but we understand these have got a similar sort of money as the owners of Manchester City. It's all about, I suppose, getting some excitement, some more support around the Magpies that the local fans deserve.
Well, as you say, Shaq knows all about the atmosphere. I mean, obviously, I've played there a lot of times, but not as much as Shaq. Look, you know, people in all towns usually love their clubs, and Newcastle fans are no different, but you know, I think they're pretty fed up, like a lot of teams. They're saying their team either been in the Championship or struggling down near the bottom of the Premier League, which is where they've been for quite some time. Look, Mike Ashley runs his ship accordingly, whether you agree or not, it's his business. But if they can have something to look forward to, and particularly these tough times, then no, that can only be a good thing. I know there's been a lot of talk about where the money's coming from, but why should everybody be the moral paratrooper right now? Football crossed that boundary a long time ago when you see the ownership of football clubs around the world and particularly around Europe. There is no moral fibre in general to who owns the club. It's who's got the most money. And I think Newcastle United fans won't really give a jot where their ownership comes from.
Shaka, how much of a sleeping giant is Newcastle?
It's massively a sleeping giant, I think. Newcastle, one thing about Newcastle United that I don't think many other, if any other clubs in the Premier League can boast about is the atmosphere within St. James's Park. We can be critical of what's happening at City and the atmosphere at Old Trafford and question whether Newcastle as a venue has the same attraction as London. But the one thing from a playing perspective, once you cross that white line, there's no better place to play a football, and I think that ultimately would stand Newcastle in as good stead as any.
Meanwhile, despite his absence from the show, Shaka has continued to upset Manchester United fans, as we all seem to do, let's face it, on a pretty much daily basis. He's announced his top five Premier League goalkeepers ever, and it's a Manchester United player who comes in at number one. We know your love for Peter Schmeichel, Petr Cech, then it's David Seaman, Edwin van der Sar and Alisson. Coming in at number five, this seems to be the controversial call, Alisson over David De Gea, Shaka.
Yeah, and when I was talking about this on Digital when it was released, it was a week or so ago, I made the point that I think David De Gea certainly damaged his own brand, his own standing within the Premier League by his poor performances over the last few years. At the same time, I also conceded that Alisson only being in the league for a couple of seasons is kind of going against my own grain and admitted that he might play himself out of that top five, but what you've seen of him so far in the Premier League, I've been hugely impressed, not by just his shot stopping, by how important he has been to Liverpool, but the goalkeeper in me always, and I talk about a presence between the sticks, and I think Alisson has that in buckets, in a way that maybe even David De Gea at his shot stopping best didn't.
I'm glad you're not my lawyer, Shad. That wasn't the most convincing of arguments at the start. Well, yeah, there you go. Craig,
no,
who would you have?
Hold on.
De Gea
hold on,
or
wait.
Alisson?
United
in this
fans
list?
Are going to be
go
upset.
On.
United fans are going to be upset, you know, no matter what. I've got two Manchester United goalkeepers in the top five, yet somehow we're here talking about upset Manchester United fans. I've not try to convince them one way or the other on this, and I'm not going to start now.
Don't worry about Man United fans, Shaq. They're becoming the biggest. if winning the Premier League was on whinging, they are the whinging champions of the Premier League at this moment in time. We have to keep pointing out to them they're 37 points behind Liverpool, and the season hasn't even finished. So pipe down a little bit. Yeah, do you know what the most interesting thing of this conversation, Dan, was Shaka managed to drop in that he'd actually been doing some digital. Did you pick up on that? Just to try and let people know out there that he has been doing something. And that was what I picked up from that.
I've been hard at work.
Yeah. Well, listen, we shouldn't forget that David De Gea was disposed recently as the Spanish number one as well. So it's been a tricky time for him. He's a top goalkeeper. But, you know, if we're talking about Man United fans getting upset, what about the American soccer fraternity? We know how touchy they are. You've got no Brad Friedel. You've got no Tim Howard. You haven't even mentioned your own colleague, Casey Keller. There's a lot of goalkeepers out there, guys. I mean, we're talking about the last few years. There's a big memory lapse for a lot of people. We had Nigel Martin for quite a while. We had Tim Flowers for a long period with the three American lads that I touched on there. There has been many a good goalkeeper. I wouldn't disagree with Alisson as an out-and-out, just better goalkeeper at this moment in time than David De Gea. If I was picking the team now, who would have put in goal between those two? It's the Liverpool goalkeeper. It's as simple as that.
And just the whole of Manchester upsetting as well, Shaq, because surely Edison's won more, isn't he, than Alisson?
Yeah, but again, just going on what I said, I think Alisson has got a better presence in between his sticks than Edison. Edison, I like a lot. And listen, if we're going on just how good a goalkeeper is with his feet, Edison certainly, if not top, very close to it. But all round, and I think a confidence of in your goalkeeper behind you, I'd have an Alisson above Edison.
Shaq, just one thing. Can you confirm for us here on ESPN FC right now that you haven't got engineers outside as we speak cutting away at your fibre optic cables so that you don't, just in case you get us back on tomorrow?
Not anymore.
No.
That happened last week. I had them in last week, Craig. You'll be happy to know.
I won't be shocked.
A lot of technical problems have been over the weeks trying to get hold of Shaq, and probably not worth it in the end, but who knows, maybe he'll be back later this week. Just a reminder, ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us. For your latest transfer news, be sure to go over to the website and click on Transfer Talk. As we welcome back Stuart Robson and Julian Laurent to talk about the future of Harry Kane. Jules, obviously this is something we talked extensively about over the last few days. However, the Guardian newspaper reporting that maybe Manchester United aren't willing to sign the England captain because they don't have the funds.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think the bottom line is that the pandemic and the current situation will affect every single football club, and United included. The fact that they are wealthier than a lot of other clubs maybe means that they will be less affected than others, even other big ones in the UK, in England, for example. But what we've been saying on the show since the beginning is that they will have to make choices anyway in the summer, because even if they had all the money they wanted and we were not in this situation, they probably would not be able to sign all the players that they want right now. You can't sign and Kane and Sancho and Grealish and Koulibaly and a left back and maybe another defensive midfielder. And this is not possible anywhere for no clubs in the world. So if you have the choice between Kane on one hand and Koulibaly and Sancho on the other hand, what do you do? They're in a very good position in the fact that they have money to spend more than a lot of other clubs. They just have to spend it wisely. And I think it's impossible for them to go and buy Koulibaly, Sancho and Kane. At some point, they will have to make a decision.
Out of those three, how would you prioritise them, Robbo?
I would go for Harry Kane, because Manchester United need a centre-forward who can lead the line, can beat Koulibaly's back to goal, who can score goals, can be good in the air. They haven't got that kind of centre-forward. Igalo did a decent job for them in the four or five games that he played, but that's something they need. They need a centre-forward who can lead the line. And Harry Kane does that. He can score goals out of nothing. He can link up the play. He can be the all-round centre-forward. So if you were prioritising one player, it has to be Harry Kane, I think, for Manchester United.
A fit Harry Kane, though, Robbo. And that's something we haven't necessarily seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... I think he's had these ankle injuries, which obviously have been a problem for him. It's not as if he's still a good age. I think he'll get back fit. He'll be a top-class player again. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But before you buy someone, you want to make sure they are fully fit and they are playing well. You don't want to buy someone when they're half fit and they come in and don't do the job properly. That's what's happened on several other occasions. Paul Pogba, when he first went to Manchester United, wasn't fully fit. They thrust him into the team and he didn't play well for the first 6 or 7 weeks. And everybody moans that it's not a good signing. Harry Kane has to be fully fit if he is going to go anywhere, particularly Manchester United.
Meanwhile, Bruno Fernandes, of course, an exceptional signing for United, having just arrived in January, transformed not only everything on the pitch, but the feeling around the club as well, it seems. And this reiterated by Harry Maguire, speaking about the midfielder, saying he's just given us that little bit more life and creativity in the middle, something pundits and United fans have said we've missed over the years. Robbo, how excited should we get about Bruno Fernandes and his initial performances in a United shirt?
Well, I wouldn't get too carried away. I mean, he's an excellent player, and it was a good signing for Manchester United. He can play in that number 10 role. He can play as one of the attacking midfield players. He can come from wide as well. But it's his passing ability to find that pass that, you know, opens up defences. That's what Manchester United have been missing to a certain degree. But you've also got to have the players in the front areas to make the right runs and to be able to join in the play. But he's a good signing. I'm not sure he's going to be a world-class player. I think he's a good signing for Manchester United at the moment. Just be careful that it isn't just the first 6 or 7 weeks where he's played well. He's got to do it for a couple more years.
That's the thing, isn't it, Jules? We've all been there, nice honeymoon period, but it all goes downhill after that. Well, for most of us, where do you stand on Bruno Fernandes, Jules?
I think I would disagree with Stu in the sense that I don't see why he would not keep this kind of level and even improve it, because he's been still discovering the league, discovering a new team and a new style of play under Solskjaer. He's done already great stuff. And I can't see why, one, this would stop and why he would not keep improving. I think his positivity, he's a very positive guy, I'm told, on and off the field, is contagious and is a very good thing. Plus the creativity that we've mentioned already, and also the fact that he's always in movement. And those kind of players are quite rare. If you think about someone who is always in movement, always asking for the ball, when he has it, he passes on and he keeps moving all the time. This is why it's very important. He can press, and his high pressing is very important. He can hold on the ball. He can slow the pace of the game down if he needs to. He can accelerate it. He can play between the lines. I can't see why it could not get better and better for United.
Robert, with your desperately negative ways back in your playing days, the reason why you couldn't make it up to the next level?
Well, we're going back to what we're talking about there, Bruno Fernandes. You know, you look at a player like Eriksen. Eriksen, on his day, can pick a pass, can do everything you want from an attacking midfield player. But he didn't do it well enough, often enough, in the last couple of years. And that's what you hope that Bruno Fernandes can do. He can play well week in, week out. He's going to have midfield players that are going to be deeper than him, but he's going to be able to pick out the pass. He's going to affect games. If you're going to play in that role, you've got to affect games. And I think over the course of the 2 years, I don't think it's a bad sign. I think he's going to be an excellent player. But I think over the course of the next 2 years, we're going to see how good he really is.
A final just on some transfer talk, Jules. I want to talk to you. We talk about Cardi a lot. 1 minute he's going, 1 minute he's staying. The latest one is certainly a bit of a swerve ball in that PSG are looking maybe to buy him, but then they would exchange him with what? Pjanic and Alessandro at Juventus.
Yeah, so swapping him for two strikers. Oh, hang on. One left back. Oh. I mean, the whole idea around Icardi for PSG is that with Cavani going at the end of the season, whenever that is, because he's a free agent, they need another striker. If you lose both Cavani and Icardi, then you're left out with nothing and you need to invest in two strikers. So I was told today that it was a big fantasy coming from Italy. What's for sure, though, is that Pjanic has been an interest for quite a long time in Paris, and that Leonardo really likes him, and they need a left back. Alex Telles, the Porto left back, is the one I was told the closest to the club right now when the talks are the most advanced. But Alessandro is a very good left back. I just can't see the swap of the one striker that they will have left in their current squad with two players who are not strikers at all.
What would you do with Icardi if you were PSG, Robbo?
I'd keep him. I mean, he's done well since he's been there. As Jules just said, there's not too many other players that are going to take up that position. He seems to have got on well with the other players in terms of his understanding with the likes of Di Maria and Neymar. He looks to be the perfect fit for PSG at the moment. And when you're talking about Pjanic coming, Pjanic is very much like Verratti. I wouldn't see that those two could play together. So I can't see the deal happening.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Just a reminder, Robbo on Extra Time with us today, and he tells the story of when he punched one of his coaches.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
With thousands of locally owned NAPA stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a NAPA Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at NAPA Online, you can count on NAPA know-how.
Interesting stuff from João Pedro talking about playing with Zlatan. Speaking of record, he said, we had an away clash against Houston Dynamo. We went 1-0 up. They came back. We levelled at 2-2. In the last few minutes, they scored to make it 3-2. At the end of the game, Zlatan gave us a roasting. He said, look, if you came here to go to the beach, walk around Hollywood, just say so. Tell me now. I have 300 million in the bank in Ireland. I don't need this at all. The first person to open their mouth, I will kill them. I will really kill him. Well, Sebastian Salazar and Hercules Gomez with us to react to that. Herc, if you were in the locker room and a teammate was saying that to you, how would you react?
Any teammate, I'd probably go after him. Zlatan, I'd probably keep my distance. He's the same guy who fought and went toe-to-toe with Guichuan Weiyu, so he's definitely on a different type of level. But listen, it's funny to me how these players, these colleagues, these teammates are coming out now. A little context for that game. They blew that game. They didn't go to the playoffs. Zlatan was only making $1.5 million for Major League Soccer at the time. He felt underpaid for what his value was. He said what he said. But now you come out and defend yourself. Now you come out and say things. It's João Pedro today, Florian Youngworth a few weeks ago talking about how he berated his teammates when they were playing against him. Sebastian Legette on a podcast, how he was a bad teammate. Where were these players? Where were these colleagues when they faced him? When he was saying that they were Fiats and he was a Ferrari and that they were beneath him in this league when he would berate him publicly. Where were they then? They didn't say anything then. They're saying it now when he's very, very far away. It's very easy to say things. Listen. There is a time and place, and trust me, I've been in heated locker room battles when you say things and maybe things escalate, but it stays there. But now you want to be the big guy. Now you want to be vocal. It doesn't always work that way.
Sevi?
Yeah, I would just ask, how bad would it have gotten if one of them would have just stepped up and stopped it in the beginning? You can talk about Zlatan being a bully all you want, but Herc's right. These guys never said anything to him. They let him get away with it for 2 years, and a monster grew and grew and grew. And now all these guys want to cry, not just João Pedro, as he mentions, Sebastian Legette, who's still talking about his feelings being hurt for being pushed out of all once by Zlatan. These guys were too sensitive in the moment, and now they want to be in their feelings. Meh.
Herc, I've obviously spent a lot of time with ex-pros. This doesn't seem like a big deal to me. Surely this happens in locker rooms, or certainly did happen in locker rooms all the time. That's what you want. You want someone to take responsibility. You want people to feel passionate about it. I don't quite see what the problem is here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You want this type of thing. And I will harp on what Sebi just said. They let it get bigger than it should have. Zlatan will Zlatan. But trust me, when he had that altercation with Gooch, and Zlatan will tell you so himself, that's where it ended. He stopped being that way with Guichuan Weiyu. I'll give you a brief example. Roger Espinoza of the Kansas City, Sporting Kansas City now, back then Kansas City Wizards. Claudio Lopez, Piojo Lopez, who's, you know, Argentine national team player, Champions League winner, comes over and he would do the same thing to the players at practice and would berate players and whatnot. One day, Roger Espinoza had enough, and he's a rookie at this time, slaps him. Well, no longer Claudio Lopez would go after pretty much anybody at that point. He nipped it in the bud when he should have. You don't, with a monster that is Zlatan and his personality that he is the way he is, and this is going to happen. Zlatan will Zlatan, but at some point you have to defend yourself, stand up for yourself, and they didn't. And now just crying about it is sour grapes.
Okay, MLS locker room soft.
It can be at times, yes. I mean, listen, the pressure isn't the same as it is in the rest of the world. There is no relegation. There is no attention like there is in other places. So it can get a bit complacent. I don't know if that the word is soft, but complacent, absolutely. Thin-skinned, absolutely. You go to other countries and you're a professional athlete, and listen, you're under a microscope. Your family is under a microscope. That's not the case in Canada or the U.S. with Major League Soccer. You can go about yourself and be free-willed at times and do what you want. So when you get that criticism, sometimes you don't know how to handle it, and this is evidence of that.
Dan, MLS locker rooms
may not be
soft, but MLS players are soft. Nobody criticizes Major League Soccer players. The media doesn't criticize MLS players. Of course, when Zlatan comes to criticize them, they're going to react like this.
Well, react however many months down the line, and that's the issue there, Sevi, for you.
Absolutely. Why wait? Again, when we talk about this league and how it's viewed, what if the players in the league actually stepped up to a guy who comes in to bully them? This is not going to look good for the league going forward when all that's left of Zlatan's legacy is players crying.
Meanwhile, let's move on to someone who's left MLS and has had an exceptional start to his career at Bayern Munich, so much so he was rewarded today with a brand new 5-year contract. Sebi, are you surprised how well Alphonso Davies has done since moving from Vancouver?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And anybody who says that they're not surprised is lying to you. One, he was playing on Vancouver. Nobody who pays attention to Major League Soccer pays attention to Vancouver. Two, he wasn't exactly lighting it up. It's not like there were boatloads of goals coming and you thought, yeah, he'll go over to anywhere in Europe, immediately step in and make a difference. Definitely not at Bayern Munich, definitely not as an outside defender, and definitely not as a starter. He's blown away every expectation possible. Look at some of the guys who can play outside back for Bayern. Pavard, Alaba, Lucas Hernandez. I mean, now he's a midfielder, but Kimmich, you think that I would have said he'd be playing over any or all of those guys? Some of them have been moved around different positions. No way. Davies has been the shock of all shocks to come out of Major League Soccer.
Something very likable. You follow him on TikTok. Seems like a great guy as well, Erg, which I know doesn't really define anything, but it's very difficult to root against him.
It really is, and Sebi forgot to mention, he's done it without the hype train that is being a Mexican national team player or being a U.S. men's national team player. He's a Canadian national team player. He doesn't have the hype these players like a Chucky Lozano or a Christian Pulisic would have behind him. And look what he's done. I agree 100% with Sebastian about how could you have ever guessed he would have done what he's done. In a new position, by the way. He was a midfielder in what was Major League Soccer and for the Canadian national team to learn a new position in one of the most complex systems in the world in a very good league like is the Bundesliga, and to be rewarded like this in less than a year, really, it's unbelievable. And he keeps going up and up. His stock keeps rising. People keep speaking very well of him. But it's that positive attitude you just spoke about. It's him being so likable and so easy to root for. You want to reward people like this.
Hercules, a couple months ago, had a top five CONCACAF players. He had Alphonso Davies behind Raul Jimenez, Christian Pulisic, even Hector Herrera, who's in and off the bench at Atletico Madrid. Very interesting to see Herc now, only now, jumping on the Davies bandwagon.
Oh, that's funny. Hector Herrera wasn't even on my list, but that's interesting.
Yeah, he was. I'll pull
Alphonso
up the graphic
Davies
and I'll tweet it if you want me to show you.
And he also just started learning the position. If you're telling me he's already done with more than Raul Jimenez, that is your argument. That is not mine.
Yeah, you said he was behind Pulisic.
He is. Christian Pulisic, when healthy, was a very good. He's a very good player
Munich.
For Chelsea.
They're a favorite for the Champions League. What are you talking about?
So
Christian Pulisic's on
you
the bench
tell
at
me
Chelsea.
Chelsea some scrub
I was
team
behind him.
Seb, where are you going with this? How does this elude the fact that he's been unbelievable at Bayern Munich and that he's learned a new position? Are you going to tell me he's already CONCACAF's best?
I'm telling you, he's right there, and he's definitely ahead of Pulisic.
Are you going to tell me he's CONCACAF's best?
Better than Pulisic. I'll leave it at that.
Herc and Seb replicating families all over the world at the moment in lockdown. We will end, gentlemen, by bringing up a subject that is discussed a lot. This is what Santos Laguna and Atlas owner Alejandro Iragorri came out and said. It's probable that the possible creation of a North American Super League is best for MLS in the short term and for Liga MX in the medium term. But over the long term, it is best for both. And the potential to add value and create jobs is immense. Herc.
It's interesting to me, Dan. They obviously, and when I mean they, I talk about the Liga MX ownership groups, want to align themselves with the stability of Major League Soccer and the deep pockets that is Major League Soccer. And there is a jolt or a shot, an injection in the arm of what is that, I guess, allure of Liga MX for Major League Soccer in the beginning. I don't know if in the long term it really benefits both, like he states. Listen, Major League Soccer has an abysmal TV deal that is propped up with its ties to the U.S. men's national team. That's the only reason it has really any sort of value. Liga MX has lots of value in the United States, but Televisa, which is a big player in Liga MX in the Mexican Federation, isn't going to let other networks just come in and break up that monopoly that it has within it. I don't see the value for Major League Soccer in aligning itself with these type of owners and the instability and really how unpredictable these owners can be. I think it makes more sense for Liga MX in the long term than it really does Major League Soccer. It's a pipe dream because, in essence, they see what Major League Soccer is doing, but it's propped up by the selling of the franchises. I don't really think they understand the structure enough, and I don't think it makes sense. I will tune in because it's interesting, but in the long term, I don't think it makes sense, a lot of sense for either.
I mean, I say this as a Mexican-American. How much Liga MX versus Major League Soccer do we really need? We already have it in CONCACAF Champions League. We already have it in Leagues Cup. We're going to have an all-star game whenever games start to be played again. It would be great if the powers that be in this country could come up with another idea, just one other idea on how to make money from soccer. The other thing I would say about these comments from Mr. Irarragorri is that they're very, very ill-timed. Let me tell you why. On March 27th, not even 2 weeks removed from the last time a Liga MX game had been played, Orlegi Sports, owned by Mr. Irarragorri, was the first organization in all of the Mexican League to defer payments to its staff. Maybe the Orlegi Sports Group should be more worried about taking care of its staff, taking care of its players, than is what Herc called a pipe dream, which in 10 or 20 years might make them more money.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you very much. A lot more from Herc and Seb over on our YouTube channel. They're joined by Craig Burley. You can check out that discussing more Zlatan. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Stuart Robson is here, as is, oh look, Shaka Hislop, who was due to be on Friday's Extra Time. But what happened, Shaq?
Well, it was right in the middle of the day, which is kind of my nap time. And then I was hanging on for a while and I dozed off. It was a short doze, but...
What a life.
It was a doze.
Yep. Expensive dose. Shaka, did you dance the Macarena when it was at its peak of popularity?
I can't remember dancing the Macarena, but chances are my good lady wife forced me into dancing the Macarena. My wife's doing it
terrible
over there.
Dance. Okay, terrible dance.
You missed my wife doing the Macarena, Dan.
Okay.
It's concerning.
Oh, did she? Did Dessa do it?
Yep. Trying to remind me of my Macarena days. That she forced me into partaking in.
When she was happy, before you. Is it too early to call Pepe a flop at Arsenal, Robbo?
Slightly too early. He hasn't been a great success this season so far. He's had one or two good games, a couple of good free kicks, but... I'm not sure they found the right position for him. They tried him on the right wing, where he played most of his time in France. Then they tried to play him up front for a couple of games. Yet he's got pace, he can do lots of things. At the moment, they haven't got the best out of him. He doesn't look a confident player. So he's a flop at the moment, but I think he can get better next year under Arteta.
Robert, this one for you as well. No English manager has ever won the Premier League. Why is that?
Because the coaching system isn't good enough, I don't think. The coaching system is run by the FA. The FA dictates exactly what the coaching syllabus is, and I don't think it's good enough. So we're not producing imaginative coaches, we're not producing the best coaches possible, and that's why most clubs now, the top clubs, look for foreign managers, because they've got a better knowledge, they've got better tactical understanding and better technical development.
Shaka, in your career, as you changed teams, were there any changes in the tactics that the teams used which had an impact on how you played?
Probably the biggest impact was with Newcastle United, where the
philosophy very much was we're going to go out there and outscore the opposition. Listen, it was fantastic for us. It was a great time to be involved with Newcastle. But as a goalkeeper, at times I was, you felt a little bit unprotected. Other than that, the other teams that had more balance to them, but Newcastle, we were there to entertain, to score goals.
Robbo, who's the best player that you've ever played with?
I'm going to go with a player who was past his best when I played with him, Liam Brady. He'd come back from Italy. He joined me at West Ham. And even though he was 33, 34 and had one or two injuries, he still had great skill, great vision. He was a joy to play with. If you made a run, you knew he'd find you. And he just, unfortunately, was just past his best. But he was an outstanding player and a great character as well. He was probably the best player that I played with.
Shaka, have you ever had a training ground bust-up?
No, I haven't. I've witnessed a fair few. A couple at Newcastle, one at West Ham that I think everybody remembers very well because it was caught on camera between John Hartson and Al Berkovich. But me involved in that kind of bust-up, nah.
I reckon it's a yes from our other guest.
I knew you were going to come to me on that one, Dan. Yes, I did have one or two bust-ups. I sometimes took the law into my own hands if I didn't think the coach was dealing with the situation quite well enough. But the biggest bust-up I had involving training was with one of the coaches, which was Phil Neal. At the time was the assistant manager at Coventry, and we had a row in the manager's office. I thought he was going to swing a punch at me, but I got one in first. That was the end of the matter.
Oh, good.
Robbo and his temper.
I know.
Ah, dear. Robbo, how is your home workout in your garden gym doing?
Very well, actually, yes. Every day I work out for about 40-odd minutes to an hour. It's very pleasurable. The sun's shining into the room. Lots of rowing, lots of ski erg, and a lot of weight. So at the moment, I've actually lost 7 pounds in the last couple of weeks.
Wow,
yeah, I found them.
Craig...
I found yeah, your 7 pounds and a few more on the way.
Craig works out, Robbo. He has no music, no nothing. He just has a towel over the machine so he can't see how far he's gone. He just stares into that towel's soul for an hour. Do you listen to music? I can't imagine you listen to anything.
Then, what do you take me for? I have the radio on in the background. The dog, if I'm doing interval training on the rower, while I row, the dog goes away. And when I take my rest, the dog comes back and I give it a little stroke. And it knows that I've only got 2 minutes recovery, so it then goes off again. We have a nice little time in my gym, let me tell you.
What do you listen to?
Well, should I advertise Heart Radio? That's what I listen to, because it's the only good reception I can get in the gym.
Right.
It's a channel in, okay, obviously,
beautiful. Shaka, how's your workout routine going?
Very well, thank you very much. I've been very consistent during this quarantine period.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I bet you have, Shaq. Mm-hmm. Final thing, and it's on food. Has Shaka ever served either of us shark bait? No. No, he hasn't.
Shark.
Bait. I don't think Shaka has served
bait and shark.
Not shark bait. I'll serve you all as shark bait. You need to go to Trinidad for good bacon shark. You have no idea what you're missing out on.
Let's go,
I'm telling you.
Well, let's go full Robbo starts throwing punches at us all. That is it. Thank you very much, ESPN FC. Back on your screens tomorrow. Maybe Shaq will stay awake for tomorrow. Who knows? We'll find out.
I'll be right here.